हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः। ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सारि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। So continuing, Jayadratha has taken Draupadi, and now the Pandavas have come back to the ashram and found out what's happened. They've just heard, and so now the talking with Datreika, who is Draupadi's maidservant. Datreika looked up at the Pandavas and said, "Quickly give chase, my lords, lest Draupadi be violently overpowered and, being beside herself, gives up her person to an unworthy man, even as a sacrificial oblation might be thrown into ashes. Do not let the ghee be poured into chaff, or the sacred garland thrown into a crematorium. Let no mean man touch with his lips your wife's brilliant face, as the soma juice might be licked up by a dog through the priest's inattentiveness." Yudhishthir said, "Go to your hut, gentlewoman, and govern your tongue. Kings and princes who are puffed up with their power soon come to grief." Right, because she's also then, in one sense, inspiring them to go and kind of chastising them, because you know she's always assisting Draupadi, and so she wants her welfare. But they're kind of saying, no, we'll take care of this. The brothers immediately went after Jayadratha. They twanged their bows and breathed hot sighs like furious serpents. Soon they saw the dust raised by Jayadratha's army. Coming near the soldiers, they saw Domya wailing. Urging Bhima to go after Jayadratha, Yudhishthir consoled the rishi and said, "Go back now, O priest. The low-minded one will soon be punished." Like hawks swooping on prey, the Pandavas rushed upon Jayadratha's army with fierce cries. Seeing the Sindhu king in the distance with Draupadi on his chariot, their anger increased like a fire fed with oil. They called out to him to stop and fight. Upon hearing the thunderous shouts, Jayadratha's soldiers lost their senses and were seized by terror. Jayadratha looked back and saw the Pandavas' five chariots racing towards him. He said to Draupadi, "Five great heroes approach, princess. I think they are your husbands. Tell me, which chariot?" Draupadi snorted angrily. "After committing an act that will end your life, fool, why do you ask such a question? Still, as you are on the point of death, it behooves me to answer. Seeing Dharmaraj here with his brothers, I have not the slightest fear." Draupadi pointed to the foremost of the five chariots. "Do you see that car upon which there is a staff, with two celestial drums that are always being beaten? There you can see a lean man the color of pure gold, with large eyes and a high nose. That is Yudhishthir. He is merciful even to an enemy who seeks his shelter. Therefore, put down your weapons and fall at his feet if you wish for your own safety." The princess then indicated the chariot to Yudhishthir's right. "The one seated on that car, who has long arms and who is tall as a salt tree, who is biting his lips and contracting his brow, that is Vrigodara. His strength is superhuman, and the earth knows him as Bhima. Those who offend him cannot live. He does not forgive an enemy, but always takes revenge, and even then he is not pacified," right? So Yudhishthir is forgiving if you surrender. But as he pointed out, is Bhima, he doesn't forgive. You do something like this, you will be punished. Draupadi went on to point out Arjuna, who rode by Yudhishthir's left, he who blazes like fire, who is always firm in battle, who never commits a cruel deed, who never relinquishes virtue out of fear, lust, or anger, and who can face any enemy. That is my husband, Dhananjaya. Behind Yudhishthir you see the twins on golden chariots. Here comes the religious Nakula, who is loved by his brothers as if he were their own life. He is an expert swordsman, and today you will see him cut your troops down like wheat. By his side is Sahadev, the youngest and favorite of all the Pandavas. His wisdom and eloquence are without comparison. That intelligent hero, so dear to Kunti, would rather enter fire than say anything against religion or morality. Jayadratha looked alarmed. Draupadi laughed. Now you will see your army like a ship with its cargo of jewels wrecked on rocks. If you escaped unharmed from the Pandavas, you will have a new lease on life. Jayadratha shouted commands to his generals, quickly arraying his forces for battle. The Pandavas left off the infantry soldiers, who were begging for mercy, and made straight for the chariot fighters surrounding Jayadratha. Right? So, because the army would be behind, because in the front will be Jayadratha and all that, and some in front of him, then you know all the other chariot drivers and like this, and then the soldiers would be marching behind. So because they were already begging for mercy, they just left them because they're not going to fight with them. Because the you know Kshatriya rule is if someone's not in a fighting mood and is fighting you, then you leave them. It doesn't mean you don't keep your eye on them, but you don't kill them. As they charged into battle, they darkened the sky with a thick shower of arrows. Seeing them advance like dreadful tigers, the fighters in Jayadratha's army lost heart. Raising his mace, Bhima flew towards Jayadratha with a roar. Kartika and the other charioteers came quickly to protect their king. They rained down arrows, darts, and clubs upon Bhima, but he careered on without flinching. With a single blow from his mace, he slew a great elephant with his driver that was fighting in front of Jayadratha. With a few more blows, he mowed down 14 foot soldiers. And at the same time, he fended off all the weapons hurled at him. So he's using his mace to defend himself from all the weapons. At the same time, in between when there's a gap, then he'll kill, you know, something like the elephant, the others, and things like that. As Bhima moved closer to the Sindhu king, Arjuna killed 500 warriors who stood before him. Yudhishthira himself slew hundreds more, and Nakula went about with a sword, scattering the heads of the soldiers fighting in the rear of the army, like a cultivator sowing seeds. So these are the ones that were fighting, the ones that were directly with the king. From his chariot, Sahadeva released fierce iron arrows that cut down many warriors fighting on the backs of elephants. They fell like burrs dropping from a tree. Powerful king named Trigarta, fighting against Yudhishthira, suddenly descended from his chariot and slew the Pandava king's four horses with his mace. Yudhishthir pierced Trigarta's chest with a sharp-pointed arrow, and he fell to the earth, vomiting blood. Yudhishthir, with his charioteer, Indrasena, then leapt onto Sahadev's chariot. Surata, a mighty elephant fighter, assailed Nakula. The elephant crushed his chariot and dragged it across the field. Nakula jumped down with his sword and shield and fearlessly faced his foe. Surata goaded his elephant towards him, and the infuriated beast rushed at Nakula with a scream. Nakula swung his sword and severed the elephant's trunk and tusks. The beast, which was clad in gold mail, fell headlong to the earth, crushing its rider. Nakula quickly jumped into Bhima's chariot. Bhima released arrows with deadly accuracy. With a crescent-headed shaft, he slew Kartika's charioteer, and his chariot flew about pell-mell on the battlefield. As a confused Kartika tried to restrain his horses, Bhima shot a beautiful plumed arrow and severed the prince's head. At the same time, Arjuna killed 12 other princes fighting by Kartika's side. Thousands of other warriors were slain by the Pandavas. The battlefield was now strewn with the bodies of men and animals. Many chariots with tall standards lay smashed on the ground, along with armor, helmets, swords, and severed limbs. What was left of Jayadratha's army fled. Many ravens, crows, falcons, and jackals, all crying out in joy, came to feast on the flesh of the dead warriors. Jayadratha was now terrified. He quickly put Draupadi down from his chariot and fled into the woods. Yudhishthira had Sahadev take Draupadi up on his chariot while Bhima continued to slay fleeing soldiers. Arjuna, however, checked his brother. What will you gain by killing these poor soldiers? They are afraid for their lives and running here and there. Leave off and chase Jayadratha. Because right, if someone's fleeing, then generally you don't kill them like that. Bhima agreed. Turning to Yudhishthira, he said, O king, the army has been routed and its leader has fled. If you wish, go with the twins and take Draupadi back to the hermitage. Arjuna and I will deal with Jayadratha. He will not survive even if he goes to Indra for protection. Yudhishthira replied, O mighty armed one, you should remember that he is the husband of our sister Dushala, Gandhari's daughter, therefore do not kill him. Right, so he's married, it means he was going to marry another princess, but he is, how do you say? Because Dushala, there's only one daughter. Like there's 100 sons and there's one daughter. And so the idea of the one daughter was that then the daughter, she would be protected by all this 100 sons. And so now if she's married like that and her husband's killed, then she'll be left on her own. It'll be a very unfortunate situation because she is her cousin's sister, so they're like a sister. So his point was is don't kill him like that. You know, otherwise then Dushala will be sad. Draupadi became agitated to hear Yudhishthira's words, and she said to Bhima, "If you wish to please me, then do not spare that infamous and despicable Sindhu king. An enemy who carries away one's wife or who wrests his kingdom from him should never be forgiven in battle, even if he begs for mercy." It's technically someone who's an aggressor, then they can be killed. So the six different kinds of aggressors, one who steals his wife, so, you know, the land, who attacks, you know, to injure you or set your place on fire, all these things, they can be killed. But as is pointed out in the Gita, when this comes up, because Krishna brings up this point, then that's the Niti Shastras. That's technically, you do and you do that, if you kill them, you're not at any, there is no bad karma for that. But at the same time, as there's the levels of higher consciousness, in which you take other things into consideration also. Like Yudhishthira was taking this, but he was considering the sister-in-law. And so therefore he considered on that basis that he shouldn't be killed. But as an aggressor, of course he should be killed. Yudhishthira consoled Draupadi and returned with her to the hermitage. Bhima and Arjuna at once headed into the forest after Jayadratha. The Sindhu king had already gone about 2 miles. Arjuna took out 4 arrows and began uttering mantras as he placed them on his bow. Pulling back the Gandiva into a full circuit, he fired the arrows. They sped through the air over the tops of the trees, covering the full 2 miles and killing Jayadratha's 4 horses. Right, so then he's already going with his chariot through the forest, and they can see, you know, he's so far, so he chants mantras, and that when they put those mantras, that means they will find their mark. Even if you shoot them this way, you know, and your enemy's there, they'll go around and get them. That there is that, there are mantras in that like that. Or like in the dark, they can find your enemy in the dark, or he's around the corner, they can find him. The king fell from his chariot in fear. Getting to his feet, he stumbled through the undergrowth deeper into the forest. Quickly catching up to him, Arjuna shouted, "O Sindhu king, with what prowess did you dare take away our wife? Stand and fight. It does not become you to flee, leaving your followers to face the enemy," right? Because they're there with the army and he's run off. You know, as the king, he's supposed to defend there. As long as they're fighting, he's fighting, or he surrenders, then they surrender. But he didn't surrender and leaving them to fight, you know, because they'll be defending him. So that's very dishonorable. Jayadratha did not look back. Bhima jumped down from his chariot and bound after him. You know, so bound, when you say bound, it's running, but it just means that they're, you know, there's such big, you know, steps and all that. So he's very quickly going to catch him. His eyes red with fury. He quickly caught the terrified king and seized him violently by the hair. Arjuna called out, "Don't kill him." And Bhima, who was about to deliver a powerful blow, pulled back his fist. He dashed Jayadratha to the ground and kicked him in the head. As the dazed king staggered to his feet, Bhima knocked him about, striking his head and chest with his fists and knees. Jayadratha fell unconscious to the ground, and Bhima dragged him to Arjuna. Through clenched teeth, Bhima said, "This one committed a heinous crime and does not deserve to live. But because Yudhishthira has commanded us, what can we do?" Because technically he doesn't, but Yudhishthira only because of that one consideration. The king is always merciful and forgiving. You know, as it said, he's merciful and forgiving, and it said Bhima, he doesn't. He's very revengeful, and you know, like that. Bhima looked contemptuously at Jayadratha, who was returning to consciousness. The Pandava considered how to best punish him. He took from his quiver a razor-headed arrow and shaved off Jayadratha's hair, leaving only 5 tufts. For a Kshatriya, such treatment was tantamount to being killed, right? Because the same thing we saw Krishna did with Rukmi, been, you know, the brother of Rukmini. And, you know, just shaving here and there and kind of, you know, just making a whole, you know, a little bit of the beard, a little bit of this. And so he looks like a complete fool. It meant that he had been defeated and humiliated at the hands of a more powerful enemy, but left with his life. So for Kshatriyas, even that, because if he had died at the hands of them, then he died fighting in battle. But he was defeated by them and they let him go. So there must be some other consideration. So it wasn't that he was so powerful that they had to fight and it was either, you know, you kill them or they kill you, that kind of thing. It was a matter of, no, they were so in control that they could sit there and shave him, you know, while he's sitting there. It was better to die in battle than to suffer such humiliation. And Jayadratha was consumed by shame, right? So that was the whole idea, is they had to keep his life because Yudhishthira commanded, because he's the husband of Dushala. But at the same time as Draupadi wanted him killed, and Bhima wanted him killed. So then by this, by shaving him, he's been kept alive, physically alive, but socially he's been killed. Bhima threw him to the ground and said, "Fool, if you wish to live, then listen to my words. From now on, wherever you go, you must announce yourself as the Pandava slave. This is the accepted custom." Right, because he has been defeated by them, then he should say he's a servant of Yudhishthira and that. Jayadratha sat on the ground with his head bowed. "So be it," he said, trembling. Bhima pulled the king up and pushed him towards Arjuna's chariot. "Get aboard," he ordered. "We will take you to Yudhishthira to receive his command." They rode back to the hermitage and found Yudhishthira seated amidst the brahmanas. Bhima dragged Jayadratha down from the chariot and had him bow before Yudhishthira. "Here is the wretch who offended Draupadi. You may tell the princess that this vile man has now become our slave." "Let him go," Yudhishthira said with a smile. Draupadi came out of her hut and saw the bedraggled Jayadratha on the ground in front of Yudhishthira. The soft-hearted princess, thinking of her cousin Dushala, right, because at the moment she's in that passion, because she's a Kshatriya, so also that passion is there. But, you know, then because Yudhishthira said that, she's back in the ashram, she's safe now, they know he's been, by him being bedraggled and shaved and all, she knows he's been insulted and everything like that. So now she also is thinking of Dushala. The soft-hearted princess, thinking of her cousin Dushala, said, "Yes, we should spare him. Bhima has punished him sufficiently, and he has now become our slave. Set him free." Bhima told Jayadratha to go, right? So not only is Yudhishthira told like that and then commanded, okay, so it's the man, but now as Draupadi's saying, because she was the one that said before he should die. And so now sure going, then technically he's been saved by a woman, right? Bhima told Jayadratha to go. The Sindhu king, beside himself with anguish and shame, bowed before Yudhishthira and the Brahmins and then stood up to leave. Yudhishthira said, "You are a free man. I will release you this time." Means release you means you're, he's not, you know, they're dependent. "But do not commit such a vile act again. Although weak and powerless, you tried to abduct another's wife by force." Right? Because weak and powerless means, in comparison to the Pandavas, means he has a whole army. Remember, it said 6,000 chariots. That's just the chariot fighters. Then there's elephants and everything else. So, and five people came and defeated them all, right? And with not much, it wasn't like it was a great battle. It was just they came in, started firing arrows, started this and that, and within a very short time, they're all defeated, so much so that Jayadratha saw this is not going well and ran off into the forest. Seeing Jayadratha's piteous condition, Yudhishthira was moved to compassion. He held up his hand in blessing and said, "May your heart grow in virtue. Go now in peace with your followers. Never again contemplate such impiety." Almost done. Jayadratha walked away from the hermitage sorrowful. He thought only of how to avenge himself. This is the problem with demons and that, is that he's done wrong, but he can only think how to avenge himself rather than thinking I'm like that. How to avenge himself on the Pandavas. Realizing he would never be able to overcome them in battle, he decided to accept a vow of asceticism to please Shiva. If he were empowered by that great deity, then surely he would be able to defeat any enemy, even the mighty Pandavas. The Sindhu king made his way to the bank of the Ganges and sat down in meditation. For a long time, Jayadratha practiced severe austerities, eating only leaves and remaining wrapped in prayer to Shiva. Eventually, the god came before him and said, "What do you desire?" The delighted king replied, "May I be able to vanquish in battle all five Pandavas seated on their chariots?" Shiva smiled. "This cannot be," because his point is, they're under the protection of the Lord. They're such powerful. It's not possible. The Pandavas are unconquerable because they are protected by Krishna. Even I cannot slay them. Therefore, your desire is impossible to fulfill. But I will grant you this. With the exception of Arjuna, who is the invincible Nara incarnate, you will be able to check all of them in battle one time only." After granting this boon, Shiva vanished, leaving Jayadratha to return to his own kingdom, wondering when the day would come when he would be able to use his boon. So that ends the story on Jayadratha. And next we have the Lake of Death. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada.